Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody doing this evening? I'm your host, Coach Terrence Wood, in the BYGP Locker Room Show. We are excited, you guys. We're always excited, but we are pumped up for tonight's guest. We have coaches, players, business professionals come into the locker room, share nuggets of advice, share key bits of information for young, aspiring football players that are trying to get after it and their families. Tonight's show is directly in line with what we preach, and we are getting it right here from a head coach tonight. This man is somebody that I've known probably for about 4 years now. He is at a Division II school called Pace University. He has turned the program around, doing an amazing job, and we are just thrilled to have Coach Andy Rondo on from Pace University this evening. Coach Rondo, can you hear us tonight?
What's going on, Coach Wood? How are you, man?
We're pumped up to have you, Coach. And as always, I love your energy. I love what you're doing with the program. And we truly appreciate your time tonight.
You know, thank you very much. I think we've known each other longer than 4 years. I think it goes all the way back to 2014. So I think we're going past 4 years into five, maybe six.
You're probably right, Coach. Your memory is a little bit better than mine. And I know that you've brought in some of our players, guys like Valentino Miles that have had
a great career.
Yeah, up at Pace. So thanks for having you on, Coach. And let's get right into it because I don't want to keep you long. I know you're a busy man, and also you're on the East Coast. So this is New York time. For those that don't know you, Coach, can you tell us where you're originally from?
I grew up mostly in a small suburb town in Massachusetts. And I was raised in a family of five boys, and everything was really a competition. And really, those guys were my foundation for, you know, competition in sports and things like that. But, you know, coaching's had me all over the place. I went to school at Syracuse University, and coaching, I got four kids born in four states, and we're going on year six here at Pace, and this is the longest we've been anywhere, you know, and it's great, you know, because my kids are in grown-up years, and my wife likes it here, and but it's as long as we've been in a spot since I've been married to my wife, and whatever that was. We've been dating like 20 years now, so 17 years. So it's been a good stop for us. It's been a lot of work, but it's been a good stop.
Definitely. And when you were coming up, obviously, in football, Coach, when did you realize that coaching was the route that you wanted to go?
I think I always thought it was – I mean, I'm talking all the way back into high school. I thought it would be a cool idea. But I really didn't give it a whole lot of credence until my senior year in college, where it was kind of the realization that, you know, the only thing I really enjoyed every day was going out onto the field. And I think it was that football and the coaches that I was around at that point in time that gave me structure and desire. And you know, that's the point in time where it became a reality that I was going to chase that, you know, and There's a lot of really good coaches at Syracuse at that time. Dick McPherson was the head football coach. God rest his soul. He passed away last summer. A lot of other guys, Paul Pasqualoni and George DeLeon, a lot of really, really good coaches that influenced men. You could see their energy and their power, and they were growing a really, really good Syracuse program at that point in time that, quite frankly, hadn't done all that in a long time. So it was really neat to see that. And that was, well, shoot, I think that was like 29 years ago, Coach. That's crazy to say that out loud. But I think that's when it was that I realized that. And I've been doing it since.
Time flies when you're having fun and when you're doing a good job. And I know that you've influenced so many young men, so it's greatly appreciated. Talk to me, Coach, about Pace University. A lot of the athletes that we work with are from the Western region, even though we work with kids across the country. And many of them don't know about Pace University. What makes it such a special place?
Well, it's special here for us in particular, going all the way back to a guy like Tino Miles, but because it really didn't have much of a, really, quite frankly, had a horrible football tradition. But there was some leadership here on this campus that decided that they were going to do it well, and they built some nice facilities. We've got some really good majors that attract people, particularly in business, you know, and some other ones too, like communications and criminal justice. But business is our big sell one because we're so close to New York City, and the opportunities that you can have in a giant metropolitan area like New York City, and business and Wall Street, and you know, all the other things that go with the business in New York. But it's a really small campus. There's a Pace University in Manhattan. That's a bigger campus, but we're a suburban campus. It's about 2,500 students, about 30 miles north in a county just outside of New York City. So it's really, really suburban here, really nice area, really, really small campus. You know, you can walk campus. There's not really much to do other than when the weather's rough. But it's a really neat place with a good education that's well-respected. And the neat part about it is the people had the vision to really grow the athletics department here in the last handful of years.
It sounds like an amazing university, and obviously we know what you're doing with the football program. When you look back, Coach, over your 5 years coaching and calling the shots at Pace, what are a couple of things that you're most proud of?
I think to see the kids that we started with last year, well, we actually had two kids this past year that ended up having opportunities with NFL teams. And what that really said, that's fancy and that's sexy and that's cool. But when we ended up seeing kids that started with us in 2014 and stuck it out through all the ugly and the grind and the dirt, and then whether it ended up being guys who get opportunities at top accounting firms, one of the big four accounting firms, or whether it ends up being our criminal justice major guys that end up getting opportunities on NYPD, or whether it ends up being a West Coast guy that we had that ended up taking his communications major and having an opportunity back home in California with the NFL Network. It's just awesome to see these guys grow and take the adversity and turn it into victory and really apply it into real world life. And, you know, these young men, these really boys who turn into men who just decided to make something happen. Very, very cool stuff to see all that happen before your eyes. And happy to have been a part of those guys' lives.
I love it. And as you know, many of them wouldn't have those opportunities unless they were playing football. So it's just a huge impact on their life. I know that you guys just finished up spring ball not too long ago, Coach. Can you talk to me a little bit about spring ball from a competition standpoint? Do you think more athletes win jobs in the spring or more athletes lose jobs in the spring?
I saw that question. I think that's a great question right there. You know, and I might dodge your question a little bit. To me, it's about development at our level. You know, it's about development. It's a long way away from the season. You can find out where you stand. I don't think anybody loses a job in the springtime. I think he can find out where he stands. You know, our quarterbacks, we've got a great quarterback battle going on right now, and each of those guys really, really wanted to be named the quarterback coming out of spring. And I asked each of them, other than their personal gratification and satisfaction, I was trying to figure out what the advantage was of naming a quarterback now. And if the foundation of our whole operation ends up being competition, somebody would have to explain to me, if we've got a heated competition going on, that's bringing out the best in that position in the line, and then in turn the D-line and the receivers that are working for each one of them, and then in turn the DBs and the linebackers. What advantage is it to the team to name something that's not yet clear? So we see this competition. I don't think you're going to lose. I think we see way more guys grow and take steps toward the competition and steps toward the field. You know, I think it's only a time of growth. Very few guys move backward or put themselves in a position where they're further away from their goal. And if anything, they can look at it and say, okay, now I'm very clear. We're always really direct with our guys and tell guys where they stand so they can get to where they want to go too.
I like that response, because spring ball is supposed to be about developing the team, and some schools get away from that with these young men. So I do like that response, Coach. Can you talk to us about the Northeast 10 Conference? Once again, a lot of our kids are maybe more southern or western regions. I hear amazing things about the competition in the conference. Can you tell us a little bit about the conference and your thoughts?
I think you're right. I think there's a conference here that's emerged a lot over the course of, you know, maybe we say a decade. If we would go back just outside of a decade, you're talking about a conference that maybe would have one full-time coach on staff, and maybe after that it was guys who would donate their time after they were done teaching. And I think over the course of the last decade, you've got a conference that's recognized that the value of football and representing their conference well on a national level. And so now you see it, well, where staffs are more involved, and you have 4 and 6 full-time coaches, and you see staffs of 8 to 10 assistants and full-time strength coaches and full-time equipment men, and really doing it well and right. You know, not all the bells and whistles, and that's the beauty and the curse of Division II, is, you know, you have what you need, but you don't necessarily have what you want. And that's kind of cool in Division II, because those guys are hungry guys, and it's not always sexy. But we have the coaching that we need. We have the personnel that we need now. The conference couldn't always say that. And we've been able to see teams that have been able to be competitive on a national level, whether it ends up being in the early season for non-conference matchups or playoff chases. You know, we've seen some good teams. I think New Haven represented us well this past year, and a team called LIU Post did too. And before that, there was a team called Assumption the previous year that went into the second or third round. So when you can see teams that are competitive outside of the conference, and when we see teams that end up having a chance to play into the playoffs rather than just show up and punch the ticket, it tells you that we're heading in a good direction. So our kids can compete at that level. And then it ends up being individual, where you end up seeing players that end up having opportunities past college, whether it's in any level. As long as, to me, if guys have a passion for football and they want to keep playing, whether it's Canada or NFL or whether they go to Europe, I think that's really, really cool. But the conference, as you brought up right there, has grown a lot in 10 years. And we've watched it evolve in our time here in the last 5 years, too.
No, it's an amazing conference, and definitely getting stronger each year. And from an academic standpoint, so many of the universities are strong academically as well. Can you talk to us, Coach, about what type of player the Pace coaching staff is looking for? I know you guys might be on the road recruiting or just evaluating film. Do you guys talk amongst the coaching staff on the type of player that you're looking for?
Yeah, you know, so, you know, there's some of it that's pretty straightforward and clean, and then some of it that ends up being, you know, subjective, and we really have to dig and research. You know, from an academic standpoint, our admissions average ends up being they'd like to see a 3.2 GPA with an 1150. And I say, man alive, do we think we're Harvard or New York? because that's hard to find those guys. That's the average that they admit at our place.
Wow.
And so what we try to do is we say, hey, can we find guys that would be, you know, at the 25th percentile of that? So if they'd be at the 25th percentile, if the midpoint is 1150, if we say, make sure they have 1,000 clean and make sure that they're a 2.8 or better and make sure that they end up having that represented in strong grades, then we'll find that a guy can be successful at pace. You know, if we try to cheat it or hedge it or things like that, we watch guys struggle, particularly in math. Math is really tough on our guys. So academically, it's pretty clean. We've got a pretty clean picture of what we're looking for. From a standpoint of athletically, we're not, I guess it's throwback, but we're not offer mania. You know, there's a lot of people that would like to get caught up in, you know, the collection of offers. We really want to find the people that want to be at pace. And if you had a chance to find a way to engage with us, boy, mass emails are a real challenge because they don't do a whole lot. But if we can have phone conversations, if we can interact on social media, if we can get guys on our campus, if we can get them at our campus, if we can evaluate them at another camp, those are ways that we can really see a guy and if he's either got that grit or love for football or both. You know, the last part I'd tell you is the guys that we're looking for is we want to look for the guys that we would end up saying it's a philosophy of recruit and develop. Okay, and we can look at a guy and say, hey, not what he is right now, what will he be? Okay, so for example, it's an easy one right here. Prince Inegbu was a kid that we recruited, and he was 6'4" and 210 pounds. And he had mini camp tryouts with the 49ers and the Chargers over the past couple of weeks. Now that he's 6'6" and he's 256 pounds, and, you know, he has got the measurables that end up being exciting. Same thing could be said of a defensive tackle we had. You know, he ended up with the Giants the last couple of weeks, and he's 6'2" and 320 pounds. You know, and they weren't that when we got him. If they were, we're not getting them. Somebody else is. So if we can end up seeing the guys that are, you know, they like the weight room. They really like and see the value of the weight room. And they like football. They really love football, and they'll work at it. And they'll work to be in the classroom. We can find those guys that we can recruit and develop based on their effort, that they can go from being one thing into being a top-tier college football player. And that doesn't just happen from watching the videotape, you know. And to me, I want to watch the videotape last. I want to look at the transcript. I want to look at the test score. I want to see how this guy represents on social media. And what it happens the other way. Everybody wants to send the clips of video. And I really don't give a crap about that until we find some other baseline information.
Great stuff right there, Coach. And hopefully all of you young football players are really dialed in to what Coach Rondo is talking about tonight. Because at the end of the day, the head coach is going to make the final decision on who gets the scholarship money. We are at the halfway mark. And for those that are just joining us, we are in the BYGP locker room. I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, with the pleasure of talking to Coach Andy Rondo of Pace University, Northeast 10 Conference. I believe 7-3 last year, Coach, 7-4.
Yeah, 7-3. A lot of us would say that's pretty pedestrian, and we've got more to come, but they've never done that around here. So it's been exciting for us to move the needle and get it going in a direction it's never been before.
Definitely. And as far as we touched upon recruiting right there and what type of athlete, what type of person Pace University is looking for. But, you know, as I do, Coach, all of these kids are paying attention to recruiting websites and who's got this offer, what's D1 school. You know, it's just getting crazy. And unfortunately, they're not running their race. They're looking in somebody else's lane. So for those that might not have an offer right now, maybe they are more slotted to go to a Division I AA, Division II school. Can you talk to us a little bit about your recruiting timeline? Like right now, are you guys already offering kids, or do you guys wait a little bit later than some of the other schools?
We don't offer in the springtime. And we try to figure out, maybe this is arrogant, Coach, but you know, we try to figure out what the advantage is. And at the end of the day, we know and understand that kids want a Division I opportunity. And I get it. You know, I get it. I get what it is. And sometimes it's just a name brand, and I don't get that as much. But, boy, there's some things about that Division I that end up being more. There's more scholarship money, and there's programs that are supported with more resources. And that's very, very cool. Having worked in those environments, that can be very cool. But at the end of the day, we've got to find things that suit each kid and how can he get to where he wants to go. And we don't offer in the spring. The first time that we'll really dig into offers is at our camp. And we have one at the end of spring recruiting in May, and then we have one in July. So we might get into some offers then. But even then, boy, we really think it's good practice to see how a guy plays as a senior. And we really think it's good practice to keep it above the line and have that term offer really mean something. I just heard this story today from, I won't name the school, from a young man who was on our staff and has moved on to a big school, a Power 5 school. And he said, we've got offer holds and offer takes. And I said, well, what's offer mean then? He goes, not much. You know, if you're a take, they'll take you. If it's a hold, you don't get And so you know, it's a slippery slope. And parents and kids, boy, you got to dig in. And I always think it's neat when a kid can recognize that he's right in it, rather than having that talk radio approach to it, you know, where maybe you're looking at it from an ESPN fan approach. You kids are in it from a recruiting standpoint. You know, your workouts matter. Your presentation matters. The way you carry yourself matters. All of that stuff's getting looked at. There's a few guys that get to end up being something else. Maybe they get represented on a web page, or maybe they get a 1,000 offers. There's a few guys, but that right there is the minority report. Most guys are in the mix. Most guys don't get to secure where they're going until they've done something in their senior year. Most of the time, all of that ends up being posturing, and it ends up being meaning nothing because it's an offer hold rather than an offer take. So it's a long race, and all that stuff doesn't matter. It doesn't. It matters when you end up signing something, and it matters that when you end up really going to work as a college student athlete. You know, it's hard to say that. You know, I'm an old man, so I can say that stuff, and it's to me. But, boy, when you're in it for the first time, it's really, really hard, you know, as you said right there, to stay in your own lane and to watch your own race. It's really, really hard. But the guys who are going to get it done know how to do that. They do.
There you go. You guys are getting it firsthand from Coach Rondo. And like he said, he's coached all over the country, you guys. So really take it from him that you got to focus on yourself. You can only choose one school anyway. We've got a few more questions here for Coach Rondo, and then we're going to let him go. Coach, if we were to flip the coin, you know, right there you're talking about what you guys are looking for. But for the young athletes that may still be considering where they're going or their time is the 2020 class, what maybe key tips or things do you think athletes should look for when deciding which college to go to?
That's great, man. You know, I think they first got to taste some different things. They really got to go and drink it in and say, hey, can you get out to see things in your junior year? Can you get out to spring football practices? Can you get to junior days? Can you get to camps? Even if you can't, you know, and they can get expensive too, but it's an investment. Can you get to enough camps where you can taste it all to really figure out what's going to help you make your decision? What is it? Are you going to, like, I know this, okay? You know, when you're looking for a relationship, there's going to be some values that those individuals hold. And there's a whole bunch of good reasons for it. There are some guys that are going to pick their school based on the academics. And then there are some other guys that are going to pick a school and they're going to end up getting their academics right along the way because they're focused on football and football was their vehicle. Neither one of those things is wrong. They're both good ways to do it. But I think, again, if you can really figure out what your needs and wants are, you know, it's always going to start with money, I think. We all end up having, you know, I can only go into that Mercedes dealership to look. After that, I got to go, you know. And that's the way we all got to look at it, say, hey, what is in our purview? What can we do? But then after that, you're going to say, okay, am I going to, this school might offer me something that's really financially sound, but can I be successful in that environment? How am I going to go? We end up taking a guy like Tino Miles from all the way across the country, and the mental fortitude that he had to come to a place that he hadn't been before and end up getting his degree and end up battling through a program that was rebuilding. He really had to be right and ready to go, and he was. You know, so all that stuff that ends up seen and sexy and sounding sexy, and we recruiters do it a disservice sometimes when we don't paint the picture for what it really is. You know, I really think for the kids that can do the work and know the ways that they can be successful and miss the pitfalls, that'll help them on their journey. And it'll help them find a spot to stay rather than say, oh, I made a mistake on that one. You got to do the work to figure out what you need. Does that make sense?
Makes amazing sense. Makes perfect sense, Coach. And I know that the kids are really taking hold of these gems that you're giving us tonight, so we really appreciate it. Two more questions for you, Coach, and then we'll let you get out of here. Talk to me about when you're talking to your team, when do you start bringing up things like life after football? I know so many of them have those aspirations and those dreams, but when do you guys really start harping on life after football and trying to position those boys for more than just the pigskin?
I think if we do it well, we're doing it without them knowing it all the way through. Whether it ends up being that they do volunteer service work in a retirement home and they're building skills with communications with people that aren't necessarily in their peer group or aren't like them, or they end up giving back to the community in different events, or they end up going to internship fairs where they're going to sit down and visit with people about different job opportunities, or whether they get that actual internship. So I think if we do it well, we're preparing them for whatever the future holds. You know, and if we end up saying, okay, the football field helps them develop discipline and fortitude and stick-to-itiveness and battle through adversity, but yet they build those communication skills and they can know how to present themselves in different environments. I think that's all part of that journey in college. And we don't necessarily package it that way, but I know this, when we tell our freshmen to write a resume, they say, what? Resume? Well, it doesn't have to be your best resume, but let's start thinking about a resume now so that you're not like maybe I was when I started to put my very first resume in the spring of my senior year. You know, hopefully you can do it better than I was able to do it, you know?
Yep, I didn't write my first one until after I hung up my cleats from college and pro ball. So, yeah, that's a lot faster than a lot of kids. You guys are doing a great job. Last but not least, Coach, I want to ask you, for that young man that's listening, whether he's a junior college kid in Texas, he's a high school kid in Arizona, but he's listening to you, he's a hell of a player, his grades are right, and he wants to get on the Pace University radar, what advice would you give to that young man?
Ooh, you know, I just end up saying, how do you separate yourself? How do you separate yourself? Everybody's got a point of difference, and if you try to separate yourself and identify yourself, you know, that to me ends up being the deal. And guys always want to go to the tape, and that's great. But, boy, this day and age with Huddle and everything, there's 100 tapes a day. What are the other things that you're going to separate yourself with, and what can you make as your point of difference? You know, and if you can present yourself, I tell you what, I delete right now anything that looks like when it says, dear coach, or I'm really interested in your school, I delete it immediately. I ain't got time for all that. You know, 100 emails a day, minimum. I ain't got time for that. You got to be able to separate yourself. And if you're truly looking to find something, it's going to take work, and you're going to have to put yourself into it, and it probably won't be through a service, or at least not to close the deal. Maybe to open some doors, but probably not to close the deal. You're going to have to do the work, just like you do in your organization, where you and I have a relationship that we've built over time. So I can end up understanding that when you call me on a guy, you know, there's something behind it, because you end up taking that time to present the personal point of view. And that's what, if the kids could figure out how to do that, say, hey, here's who I am, And this is my point of difference. This is something that separates me above the crowd.
I appreciate that, Coach, tremendously. And the reason we call you is because we know that you groom young men and not just football players at Pace University. So thank you so much for your time tonight, Coach Rondo, and we wish you guys the best of luck out there next year.
Thank you, Coach Wood. You're the best. I appreciate you having me on. It's very, very flattering. You run a great organization, and this is a great program.
Thank you. So, hey, there you guys have it. That is Coach Andy Rondo. He is doing it right, you guys, out there on the East Coast, Pace University. This is somebody, like he said, we've grown a relationship. I do not send my kids to schools if I don't think they're doing it right. And Pace University is definitely doing it right. So we appreciate Coach Rondo for his time. I know that you guys got a few gems, many gems, out of tonight's episode. If you guys didn't get to hear our last BYGP Locker Room Show episode, we had an NFL scout, Pat Williams, former CU Buff, my alma mater, come into the locker room, and he was honest, you guys. All of these guys are honest because they know that they're not with the school newspaper, or the school radio show, or a local or regional, or even ESPN. They know they're in the locker room where they're talking to athletes, to coaches, to parents, and they want to be honest with you guys. So if you didn't get to hear the last show, we had Pat Williams, NFL scout for the Baltimore Ravens, in the locker room sharing his expertise. Please take advantage of that. All of our shows are archived for at least 30 days at www.beforeyougopro.com. That is our website. You can scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, and you'll see a little microphone next to our other social networking links, and you can click on that microphone and access our archived locker room shows. Tons of knowledge and information. Pretty much you can DIY a scholarship and really help out your career just with our locker room shows alone. For those that don't know, Before You Go Pro is more than just a content company. We literally work with kids on a monthly basis with recruiting and mentoring. You can check us out at www.beforeyougopro.com. At least get a free consultation to make sure that you're on track and an evaluation on your huddle fail. So once again, hopefully you guys got something out of tonight's show. I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, signing off for BYGP and the rest of the BYGP family. We will definitely see you at the top. Have a good evening.